You're listening to Action Point with Cynthia Black on KPHX 1480. Welcome to the show. Obviously, I'm not Cynthia Black. She's taking a week off. I am, however, Brad Friedman, your friendly, humble citizen blogger, coming to you this afternoon from Los Angeles myself. We're glad to be sitting in for Cynthia, who's taking some much-needed time off. Well, we've only got an hour, so we're going to get to a lot, I hope, in this hour, including Noel Runyon is going to be our first guest coming up. He's an expert on technologies for the blind. He's going to talk about electronic voting systems and the problems that voters, blind and disabled voters, have with them, and the scam, the ongoing scam that's been going on there. I'll explain shortly. Also, Eric Bollert from Huffington Post and MediaMatters.org is going to be with us explaining why, oh why, the media is so darn liberal. Some laughter in the studio. What? They're not? If it's Sunday, it must be Action Point. As I say, I am your friendly citizen blogger, Brad Friedman, from bradblog.com. Some of you folks in Phoenix may know me as a frequent guest, occasional guest host out there in Phoenix, on KPHX and NovaMRadio.com, where we're also broadcasting coast to coast and around the globe this afternoon. We're happy to have everyone with us, and I should throw out, in addition to everything else we're doing, I'm going to try to keep an eye on BradBlog.com, where we've got an open thread kicking in. The top item, if you go to BradBlog.com, there's a item there about my guest hosting Action Point today. Leave us a comment there if you like, or give us a call at 1-800-989-1480. That's 1-800-989-1480. And if you're local in Phoenix, 602-258-8800. We'll see if we have time to get to your calls. Quite a week this week, if you've been paying attention, which means you have to sort of go to the blogosphere to pay attention. Or listen to 1480 KPHX and Nova M. You certainly won't get it on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC. Never mind Fox News. The big story of the week for my money was the Valerie Plame hearings that we saw in Congressman Waxman's House Oversight Committee this week. Some extraordinary testimony. We'll have some of that later in the hour. The U.S. attorney scandals falling apart. We'll try to get to that too. All of which backbenched all of the other scandals. Walter Reed, the Scooter Libya verdict. Good Lord, who can keep up? Well, how did this happen? How did we get into this mess? One of the ways is we've got an electoral system that just doesn't work. And folks who know me from BradBlog.com know I cover the rapid disintegration of our electoral system quite a bit over at bradblog.com because, well, someone's got to. And it is because our election system has fallen apart, and the questions we saw in 2004 in Ohio and certainly in Florida in 2000 before that, that we are in the mess that we're in. By way of pointing that out, I should mention that this past week, two elections officials in Cuyahoga County were found guilty of rigging the 2004 election recount. I'm sure you saw it on CNN, right? They were sentenced to the maximum sentence, 18 months in prison. Should have been 18 years as far as I'm concerned. Notably, the judge and the prosecutor, when they were sentenced, said they both believed this thing goes higher. The election officials would not cooperate with the attorney, the prosecuting attorney, so he said. And they both believe it goes higher. What do you know? I thought it did, too. And, in fact, there was a conspiracy over the 2004 presidential election in Ohio. Does the media give a damn? Apparently not. But I do. And I'm being the media. And so we're going to talk about that and everything else. One of the points we need to make here as we go into our first guest, Noel Runyon, is that we've got, as I said, an electoral system in shambles. But what's happened is that I'm getting a little bit of feedback. Are we okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Is that we've got an election system in shambles, And the Democrats are finally in Congress now. They're finally in power. They're going to take care of everything. Everything's going to be fine because they've got an election bill put forward by Rush Holt called H.R. 811. And it's actually got a lot of good stuff on it. And I should say right off the bat, I helped as the bill was being drafted. I had input into that bill. And it's got a lot of good stuff. A lot of much-needed security things are put in place for our electronic voting machines, which are terrible. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't draw the line and ban DRE, that's direct recording electronic, or commonly known as touchscreen systems. It doesn't ban those systems. It needs to ban those systems because they don't work. They're disenfranchising. They're dangerous. They fail. They're inaccurate. They're no good. And one of the reasons that we now have these all over the country is because of the Help America Vote Act of 2002, otherwise known as HAVA. And that was put in place by a fellow by the name of Bob Ney from Ohio. You remember him, or maybe you don't. If you're watching CNN, you probably didn't hear about it. Bob Ney's in jail right now, congressman from Ohio, for the Abramoff scandal. He, did all sorts of wrongdoing. We, however, he's a felon. I don't think he can vote in Ohio. We're stuck with his crappy bill, which has pushed these voting machines all over the country. And one of the things they've been using to get them out there and say we need these touchscreen systems and we can't ban them is because HAVA requires one voting machine for disabled voters in every polling place. Well, sounds good to me. Blind, disabled folks ought to be able to vote privately and independently. However, they don't need these terrible direct recording electronic systems, and yet they've been used. National Federation for the Blind, American Association for Disabled People have come out and said, we must have touchscreen machines and everyone must use them, and that's the only way that blind people and disabled people can possibly vote. Well, it's nonsense. Furthermore, National Federation for the Blind and AAPD have taken thousands of dollars. Actually, in the case of National Federation, they've taken $1 million from Diebold, your friends at the Diebold Voting Machine Company. It's outrageous. It's a scam. And finally, this week, blind and disabled voting rights advocates are finally speaking up and saying, no, it's a scam. To that end, I want to get to my first guest today, Noel Runyon. He's an expert on technologies for the blind. He's blind himself. He's been working in human factors engineering for more than 36 years, primarily developing access technologies for helping people with visual impairments to use computers and other electronic devices. He's also the author of the new study, Improving Access to Voting, as well as a recent open statement signed by, I think it was 20 people, blind and disabled voting advocates when we ran it this week. We broke it at BradBlog. I think it's up to 30 now. He's calling for an immediate ban on direct recording electronic DRE voting systems. Thank God. Noel became a critic of voting machines after his own experience with the Sequoia Touchscreen Edge 2 machine, and subsequently he became an expert witness in three separate lawsuits brought by VoterAction.org alleging the machines were inadequate and therefore unlawful. He's worked with advocates and to promote accessibility and security in voting machines as mutually attainable goals. Noel Runyon, I want to thank you for speaking out and joining us this week on Action Point. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Let's see. Did I set everything up right? Tell us about...
Close? I would just throw in, because
yeah.
I'm an engineer and stickler for technical details, is the you use the term touchscreen, and that's now an old word that
yes.
doesn't really mean the same thing, because touchscreen is just the kind of way the users interact with the voting system. In fact, one of the better systems out there that we're approving of these days, it does have a touchscreen. So the essential thing is how they store the ballot. Is it an electronic ballot or a more secure and durable ballot like a paper ballot?
You're absolutely right, and this is one of the reasons why I tend to say DRE or touchscreen, because that's what folks know them as, but you're right, there's a difference. DRE records, it's a direct recording electronic. It records the vote inside the machine. Voters can't verify it. It's impossible to verify a vote on a DRE system. Am I correct on that point?
to verify it, well, in any way that's meaningful, you're asking a machine to that may have just misrepresented accidentally or mischievously whether it has your vote correct. And that same machine might lie to you in the first place and then lie to you when you ask to verify it. So, yes, in that way, it is impossible.
And well, you can't know what's being being recorded inside these machines, and they talk about these paper trails that this would make a difference. It doesn't, because you can verify the paper trail if you want, and frankly, if you can see it, Noel.
And if that's not going to be used for the ballot and the counting, you don't still know what might be stored in electronics and used to do the tabulation.
That's exactly right. And so, frankly, that's a scam, the whole voter-verified paper audit trail business, because it is not used for the tabulation. But the real question is, why, who got the bright idea that blind and disabled folks had to have? Now, the interface, I understand, because it's got audio, if you use a touchscreen, and so forth. But where did they get the idea that blind and disabled folks had to vote on these systems that are not transparent and can't possibly be verified by any human being?
Well, we sort of came into this backwards. What happened originally was the vendors that were doing the regular paper ballot kinds of systems and printing the ballots and all got into making computerized systems because you could charge 10 times as much for a, quote, voting computer, and started selling those. And by the time we got to the 2002 HAVA, they said, oh, this would be a solution. And they said, all we have to do is put something on it so blind people could use it. And that will meet HAVA requirements. That wasn't really correct.
So it was an afterthought.
Yeah, very much a Band-Aid added on later. And as we got into more situations, we're saying, look, these are totally inadequate. They don't help people, say, with severe motor impairments to vote, and a lot of other folks that were being left out, a lot of the elderly who couldn't only use audio, they couldn't only use small print. They needed large print, they needed combinations of audio and visual. So, you know, I originally had started off from this viewpoint of thinking the HAVA was going to be a great thing. We're going to get nice, clean electronic machines, and I like those. I have about 13 computers around my house that actually work. And so I love this technology, but here, when it really came down to using this back about 3 years ago when started trying to vote on them in our own county here and found that the machines failed, the poll workers couldn't get them up and working, even though they're very nice, lovely poll working people with good attitudes, tried hard. And in five elections that I voted on these machines, the poll workers were only able to get it working with the audio twice. Which isn't a poll worker training issue, but an issue of very bad, overcomplicated design.
So the poll worker couldn't get it working. Now, you shouldn't even have to go to that poll worker, as I understand. You ought to be able to use that system by yourself if these machines are as good as they say.
Absolutely. And this is why I came, as I started looking at the lousy accessibility on these machines.
Hang on, Noel. Hold on to that lousy accessibility. I got to take a break. We're going to come back to the lousy accessibility of DRE voting systems with Noel Runyon. I'm Brad Friedman, sitting in for Cynthia Black on Action Point. Get your pencils. We got some actions coming up for you.
Is made possible in part through the support of VIA Worldwide.
At least one in four pets die of cancer. Some vets say cancer is genetic, and others say diet and environment are the culprit. You can't control genes, but you can control diet. At itsapetslife.com, you can shop for the number one pet food free from disease-causing slaughter and agricultural industry waste, Flint River Ranch. Flint River Ranch is made from 100% human-grade ingredients, and with delivery to your door, still costs the same to feed as the grocery store brand you are now feeding. Don't believe us? Visit itsapetslife.com and find out for yourself. And while you're there, find out how It's a Pet's Life gives back to animals worldwide through our 1% Animal Rescue Plan, or gives back to our customers through our customer benefit and newsletter email coupons. Use KPHX in the coupon option during checkout and receive a 15% discount off your first qualified order. Remember, itsapetslife.com.
time again for
Profiles in Cronyism.
Meet the newest Harvard Business School pupil, 26-year-old college dropout Blake Gotsman. His resume highlights include Bush 2000 campaign staffer, a junior aide to Andrew Carr, and former boyfriend of the president's daughter, Jenna Bush. The pinnacle of his success was personal assistant to George W. Bush, which translates to holding hand sanitizer and making PB&Js for the president. For Harvard Business School, you or I would need at least an undergrad degree, but not Blake Gotsman, presidential breath mint dispenser, now Harvard man. This has been
Profiles in Cronyism
from Air America Phoenix, 1480 KPHX.
1480 KPHX is sponsor-supported radio. Hi, I'm Tom Hartman, encouraging you to shop locally and progressively. I invite you to visit the Art of Framing on the northwest corner of Central and Camelback. Art of Framing is locally owned by an independent artist. Create signature frame designs to showcase your favorite artwork or preserve your most treasured memories while tying your entire decor together. Call Art of Framing today, 602-277-3112.
Hi, this is Cynthia Black, host of Action Point. You probably recognize these voices from my show.
I have investigated you, Reverend, and you came out just fine.
Let me take a deep sigh of relief then, yeah.
Anybody who tries to separate the environment from our democracy is doomed for failure.
Important, informative, and interesting. If you'd like to hear the voice of your business and my show, become an Action Point sponsor. Call Kim Macias at Air America Phoenix, 602-257-1351.
Meet Richard Pay. After several unsuccessful spinal surgeries due to a car wreck, he now lives not only in a wheelchair in constant pain, but also in a Florida prison. Seems Mr. Pay was caught with large quantities of painkillers as a result of doctor shopping. Richard Pay did the exact same thing as Rush Limbaugh, with one exception. Richard Pay was sentenced to 25 years. There's another difference, too. Pay needed the pills for a spinal injury. Rush needed his as a fix. We're Air America Phoenix, 1480 KPHX.
It's time we take our country back. We're VelvetRevolution.us, and we've been taking the fight to the bad guys for years. We work to root out corruption, expose it, and demand accountability. VelvetRevolution.us is a coalition of citizen action groups from all over the country dedicated to issues like election integrity, media reform, whistleblower protection, ending illegal wars of choice. We're not afraid to take action when action counts, but we can't do it without you. Go to www.velvetrevolution.us. Sign up to become a member, and please donate to help us continue the fight on every front. Revolution starts at home. Find out how good it feels to take action and take your country back.
Got my family and my church and flag.
I'm taking my country back.
We're VelvetRevolution.us.
Listening, and so are you. You're listening to Action Point on KPHX. I'm your friendly citizen investigative journalist blogger Brad Friedman, sitting in this afternoon for Cynthia Black. We're speaking with Noel Runyon, a blind expert on technologies for the blind, and he's come out with a statement this week, an important statement, with about 20 or 30 other blind and disabled voting rights advocates, and said basically that DRE machines that are commonly but incorrectly known perhaps as touchscreen voting machines are neither fully accessible nor secure and accurate for blind and disabled voters. They are inappropriate for use because these systems make it impossible for voters to verify that their votes will be counted as cast. Also, another statement this week from Stan Eicher of the Disability Law Center. He said, "We must debunk the myth that we have to choose between accessible voting and verifiable voting. Democracy requires that we have both." Couldn't agree more. Noel Runyon, how do we get both? so that blind, disabled voters can vote privately and independently, but not at the expense of verifiability.
Well, one thing is sort of understand where it came from. When we found that these electronic ballot machines were not working reliably and had a lot of security problems, one of the solutions was to come up with a system that allows us to independently verify, independent from the software program, what's actually being recorded as our ballot. And the current best technology for doing that, and the only one people really see as viable, is to have a paper ballot. However, when this first was proposed a couple of years ago, rightfully, a lot of folks in disabilities activism community said, well, this isn't accessible. And they had some good reason to be concerned about the use of paper. However, things have changed. It's a different situation now because we have what are called ballot marking systems or ballot marking devices.
Now, that's basically that. For example, this would be a touchscreen system that prints out a copy of your ballot.
Could be a touchscreen. Doesn't have to be a touchscreen.
Okay. There's other.
It's an example of what they did in New Mexico when they threw out those unreliable Sequoia machines that lost over 18,000 votes just in Bernalillo County. The state threw them out and said, okay, we'll get these optically scanned ballots. And by that we mean the ballots that you put marks on, sort of like you used to take those tests back in school. And for allowing people with other language requirements or people with physical, cognitive, and sensory disabilities, we allow them to have a machine, in this case, called the AutoMark. It's a machine that can talk to you, can display information on the screen, and it does have a touch screen, has a control keypad if you want to use that. Even has a thing that allows people to operate just two switches, whether pushing with their elbows or sipping and puffing on them.
And the result is, Noel, this in fact then prints out a ballot, which is then counted by another means, whether it's hand-counted or optically scanned.
Yeah, it prints out a standard ballot like everybody else is using, and that standard ballot can be counted electronically or manually counted.
And most importantly, we can go back and verify it later. We can recount it. We can audit it. But it is counted in the first tabulation, a ballot that is actually marked by either a human being or that has been printed out by one of these touchscreens that you can then verify. I want to get to some calls real quick. So maybe you can tell me before we go, Noel, to those calls. How would you, a blind man, actually verify the vote after it's, for example, printed out by an AutoMark machine or one of these other devices like VotePad, etc.?
These systems, a critical thing is for these systems to allow, as the AutoMark, and I'm not pushing for one vendor here, but this is an example used over in New Mexico we're talking about. It allows you to pull the ballot out if you want and walk away with it, go to a different machine, come back to the same machine later if you want, when it wouldn't even know you. You put the ballot into the machine, it scans it back in, and then reads back to you on the display or with speech what marks you had on that, how you marked that ballot to let you know what your votes are. So it's a way to scan back and verify the vote. So this is one of what we call ballot marking systems. And with the availability of these now, and with improvements such as a privacy sleeve that it automatically slides into when you're through voting, so that nobody else can see your ballot as it's moved to the ballot box. These things have become a very viable, accessible solution and an alternative. And that's why my letter that I've asked people to sign on to in the field here this week, we're saying that we have good solutions here that are secure and accessible. We no longer have to have people pitted against each other of security versus access. We want to work together, and we should be not fighting paper, but working to make it accessible for everybody.
Noel, have you testified in Congress about this? Because I know a bunch of blind and disabled advocates like Jim Dixon, who's taken thousands of dollars from the voting machine companies. He's testified. Have they had voices, either you or others like you, testify on this to this end?
Well, I haven't accepted thousands of dollars, so maybe that's why I didn't testify. I'm sorry. No, I just for the record, I have not accepted any money from any of the vendors on this.
So that means you don't get invited to testify.
My report was turned in their briefings, so they have my improving access technology report. which, by the way, is available at the voteraction.org site, and it's also available on Demos.
Demos.org. Let me get to a call, and we're going to give action points for people to touch base with you, but I want to get our phones are lit up here. Let me see if I can get one or two quick ones in. Sarge from Mississippi. Oh, Sarge, welcome to Action Point. Is this Mike Malloy's Sarge?
Yes, same one.
How are you, Sarge? Good to hear from you.
By the way, Brad, sometime I want to get with you and have a discussion about the Katrina issues down here. I want to tell you some stuff. Sean Ryan has my contact info.
Okay, good to know. You got my friend, Secretary of State Eric Clark down there. Never mind that. For the moment, how can I help you, Sarge? We're running short on time.
I wanted to ask the question, does it have to be a machine for buying people to be able to use them?
Thanks, Sarge, for the call.
No, okay. Yeah, the answer to that is no. Actually, Hobbit does not require a machine, and this is something that that a lot of people have misread. It says there has to be an accessible voting system, and there are non-electronic systems that are options. That something called a tactile ballot is one of these approaches. It's just a flat sleeve with holes in it with bumps by them. It allows you to slide the ballot inside, and it helps you line up and mark your different selections on that, and then it includes a little vibrating wand that optically senses marks that you can put on.
You mean we don't have to spend $7,000 on a machine to let you vote, Noel?
That's correct, and it by itself is not a complete solution for access, but it's part of what we call blended systems, where you could have additional things, like for people that need magnification, you could have alternative parts of a voting system in a polling place.
Noel, I got to run. I got to get out. I want to make sure that we do our action point here. Please, how can folks contact you if they want to join your statement?
They could send an email to voting at Sky Highway. That's S-K-Y Highway, all one word, .com.
Thank you, Noel Runyon. Not enough time as ever, but we're going to be back with more Action Point. Eric Bollert coming up from MediaMatters.org and Huffington Post. You're listening to Action Point. I'm Brad Friedman. Back in a minute.
Action Point is made possible in part through the support of Via Worldwide.